All right, let's welcome everybody in. The Real Kipper and Bourne Show on this June 17th. And it feels like we're just getting started in a Stanley Cup final.
Crazy.
At 3-1, Nick Kyprios, Justin Bourne, Sammy McKee, Derek Brandeo, Jake the Snake Schultz. Still the fastest hour in hockey about to come up. Rene Lavoie will join us in a few minutes as well. He's covering the Stanley Cup final. Plus, we'll get into some news and notes maybe a little early in this program because he's so good at that stuff.
He is. He knows the league well.
And there's some rumblings going out there.
Hearing rumblings and whisperings?
Rumblings. Little tremors.
The rumblings are, can we just get this playoff over with already?
It's the middle of June.
Can we get hockey over with?
It's late.
That's the rumbling.
So you were watching more golf this weekend than anything else?
I watched so much golf this weekend. Yeah, I watched Bryson. I watched soccer, watched golf, watched hockey, watched basketball. I've watched everything. Yeah, Bryson was amazing. Rory, not so much.
Like, for a guy that's just known for the long ball, like, that's maybe the best short game under pressure that I've seen in a long, long time.
And you know what? He did it on, I think, number 8 as well. He hit one out of the woods, back over the green, tight lie, and hit an unbelievable shot. Huge celebration when he made that putt. Like, his short game was the difference.
Yeah, he had a cracked driver face when he was on the range, like, literally 15, 20 minutes before his tee time in the final round. And he put a brand new driver head.
And he couldn't hit a fairway.
And he still manages to win with a brand new driver head. He's changed. He's grown up a little bit, boys. I'm all for it.
Okay.
Happy for him.
Enough golf.
Yeah. Okay.
People Stanley Cup final.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You mentioned, Sammy, at the top, June 17th.
Mm-hmm.
And it almost feels after Saturday night that something might be just getting started here.
Yeah.
So where are you guys after an 8-1 shellacking?
Well, I'm going to be writing an article. First off, we're very zoomed in on our camera today, so you get to see more of us. I hope you enjoy it. You know, people have been requesting to see our pores, so we're doing our best to make that happen.
Clearly something's broken here.
But yes, I'll tell you where I am. I'm working on an article about how this can happen, because there is a way. You know, Barkov gets hit in the head, maybe he's a little off. You got Bennett get hit in the ankle or knee. If those guys aren't great, they... Bobrovsky's starting to show some cracks.
You've seen the numbers and the percentage. You are a numbers guy. You're an analytics guy.
Yeah.
You have all of that.
Yep.
And you're not leaning towards the percentages of the Oilers coming back. You're going on hope right now.
Well, I mean, they're not likely to do it, but there's a path. And it's Bobrovsky becoming... Remember when Edmonton beat Calgary a couple years ago and they ruined Markstrom? Could they just get to Bobrovsky like that? Could Hyman and McDavid start to find it here? The power play get going? There's reasons to feel like if they get it back to Edmonton, win one game and bring it back to Edmonton, that's a tough environment.
What are the odds of that tomorrow night, Sammy?
I said Panthers in 5 before the series starts.
Ooh, you got to stick with it?
I don't feel for 1 second that I'm wavering from it.
It's not good.
I think it was a one-off night where they got super hot. They do have a ton of pride. They don't want to get swept. They got rolling early.
One-off night, Sammy, is, I don't know, 4-2 with an empty netter or 5-2, but not 8-1. Like,
so you guys are, you guys are thinking this is going to be longer.
You don't see shellackings in the Stanley Cup final. Not like that.
I think we have a stat on that.
How far you want to go back?
Yeah. This is the largest margin of victory by a team facing elimination in the Cup final going back to 1942. And then the next note is what happened that year?
Do you know what happened that year?
Did they come all the way back?
That's the year the Maple Leafs did it for the first time, came all the way back when the Detroit Red Wings won the Stanley Cup.
Oh, my God. I mean, it is saying that there's something more there than just a total fluke night.
I think the Panthers are still better.
Yeah,
and
I
think that they're probably going to, you know, they're back home. I think it's going to happen tomorrow night. But
I just think at this point, like, an injury or two really changes things.
I'll just say this. Caps can't let them get 5 because then it gets scary. Like, if you're going back to Edmonton, then it's a real kind of spooky zone. But I think they'll get it in 5.
That's as loud as I've heard a hockey crowd.
Yeah, that was crazy.
Full stop.
And that may pale in comparison to a game 6.
Yeah.
If it gets there.
Yeah.
But... the floodgates opened up, and the anticipation was that the Edmonton Oilers were losing by this much of a margin, and they just needed a bounce and a break, 2-0 without McDavid or Draisaitl, role players, right? Yeah, starting it off.
Get some goals.
And then Tarasenko scores to make it 2-1. And the feeling was this was going to be a tight game.
Yeah.
And Skinner makes a great save to keep it from going 2-2. He was on the 2-on-1. Go ahead.
There's a moment before this even started where I think Florida might have been on the power play. They hit the crossbar and the puck comes out to Barkov and he banks it off the post. This is right before Edmonton goes down to score the first goal. And Tim, I just had a moment where I was like, if they just need a couple bounces like that, Edmonton.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, one more game, one more set of bounces. It's hockey. You never know.
All right. Well, wherever you are and watching and listening, Sportsnet 590, The Fan, Sportsnet 650 in Vancouver, Sportsnet 960 in Calgary, Sportsnet 360 or Sportsnet Plus. We're glad you're with us for the next hour. And remember, this hour of Real Kipper and Bourne is brought to you by Bet365. Okay, let's welcome in Rene Lavoie. He's been on the show before, hockey reporter for TVA Sports, NHL Network, does a tremendous job covering the final, also around the league. We'll get into all of that. But let's first of all say a big hello, Rene. How are you, my friend?
I'm pretty good. I don't have my Yankee jersey on. So I said to myself, I'm in Toronto and Canada. If I have a Yankee jersey on, probably you'll flush me quickly, right?
Look at the view behind you. You're somewhere great.
We are one game away from 500 baseball in this city, Sammy. There's tons to be excited about.
You're totally right. Totally right. About time, I will say, though, because I went to see the Jays a couple of times during the first round, and it wasn't cute. Let's put it this way.
Okay, Rene, let's start right off of Saturday night and what a 3-1 feels to you moving forward. There's a lot of people optimistic that this could be the start of something for the Oilers. Where are you on that?
Like probably the majority of my colleagues that I talked to today, if it was at Panthers practice or even at the Oilers practice earlier this afternoon, it was if the Panthers don't win next game, there'll be a game 7. That's the expectation. Mm-hmm. So the Panthers need to approach next game like if next game is a game 7, which is not easy to do, especially when you're leading 3-1 in that playoff series. But you see what happened last game. I believe that even if everyone is saying on the Panthers side that, or they're acting cool with it, the reality is they're not that cool with it. Like, if you look at Paul Maurice today at practice, he was probably a little more involved than he was a week ago or maybe 3 days ago. Reason why? It's because something needs to change, right? They need to go back to where they were before the start of this Stanley Cup final, or I should say before the start of game 4. So that's the feeling right now. I talked to my colleagues earlier on NHL radio this morning. They were talking about the possibility that the Oilers win the Stanley Cup. Listen, I'm 50 years old, and when you're losing 3-0 in a playoffs, in a Stanley Cup final, my dad never seen it. It was in 1942. It wasn't Toronto Maple Leafs. I don't expect my dad to see it, and I don't expect to see it come back myself in my life. That's the reality of it. It's too hard. But that being said, you have to give a lot of credit to the Oilers with what they did in the last game.
Has the way the series played out affected the pressure on the Florida Panthers? Because you know, the year before they go to the Cup final and they no pressure at all, right? It's all gravy. This year they were in battles, but they never seemed under duress, really. All of a sudden up 3-0, everyone handed them the series. It was theirs. Take the Stanley Cup. No one gave Edmonton a chance. All of a sudden you lose 1-8-1. Paul Maurice has spent a little bit more time on the ice. Everyone's worried about what it looks like in game 6. Have things fundamentally changed for the Panthers?
Right now, no.
Yeah.
And I'm going to tell you why. Because I think early in last game, the Panthers players look at the game and say, it's not our game. All right? At 2-1, there was a little bit more oxygen. And at 2-1, you were like, okay, something's coming. But what the Oilers do is they what the Oilers did, I should say, is they scored that goal, that third goal quickly, right? And it at that time, really at that time, it was the end of the story. And I believe that somewhere early in the second period, the if the Panthers players should have just thrown the white flag or a white towel and said we're done with it, they would have done it, yeah, right? And they played that way. Look at the third period. I said to myself, okay, you have Sam Bennett, you have Tkachuk, you have all these guys. They're gonna be in Oilers' face in the third period. They're not gonna finish that game. They're gonna be thrown out. And no. They just played their a little preseason type of game. You know, flip here and there. Nothing major. No hits. I don't want to get injured. I don't want to injure you. I just want to lead this town. That's what happened. Okay, I believe that's what happened in that game. And now it's for real though. Now you expect, you know, the Panthers players to be dialed in tomorrow. And if they lose tomorrow, it's going to be a little more in their head than it is, I think, right now.
We are joined by Renaud Lavoie from TVA Sports, NHL Network. So, Rennie, if we're talking about a done deal Saturday night with a win for Bobrovsky and the Conn Smythe, does another loss jeopardize that for you?
That's a great question. At TVA Sports, obviously, it's part of the debate. Probably it's part of the debate in Sportsnet 2, on Sportsnet 2, and I expect a debate everywhere around the league. The way I see it is Bobrovsky is the MVP, okay? Another loss can change a lot of things, but let's be honest. If it's not Bobrovsky, they're going to give it to Barkov, which, and Sasha Barkov, no matter what, deserved it too, right? But the reality is Barkov is minus two last game, played a okay game, not a good game. Like Bobrovsky played an okay game, not a good game. But when I talked to Pat Lalime about it, my colleague at TVA Sports, he said, well, Bobrovsky lost some ground, but not Barkov. But I'm looking at the way Barkov played. I think it's equal. Let's put it this way. You have another great Sergei Bobrovsky type of game tomorrow night. He's the crystal clear MVP. If it doesn't happen, obviously everyone's going to look around and try to find another reason not to put Bobrovsky as your MVP. But as of right now, I don't see why it's not him. He's game one. It was his game. Okay. And technically look at it. It could easily, you can make a case of it. It could be easily be right now the Oilers 3-1 in that playoff series. They could lead that Stanley Cup final 3-1 right now. But the reason it's not the case, it's because of Bobrovsky.
Yeah, I think everyone's really eager to make it a close race on Florida's side, but I don't think it particularly is personally. So at the other end, Stu Skinner had himself a mighty fine hockey game. If you look back throughout this postseason, he was really good late in a couple of series against LA, against Vancouver. You know, can you see this guy finding his footing and that being something for Edmonton to hang their hat on?
Stuart Skinner is a really good goaltender.
Yeah.
And his demeanor is different. He doesn't have the same skill set of a Bobrovsky, but at the same time, Bobrovsky doesn't have the same skill set. He's not huge in front of his net, right? Bobrovsky is more skilled type of guy. Skinner is an approachable person. I think he's learning a ton right now. I think he's learning how to be the number one goaltender and to face all the pressure. When he started the season, he was not supposed to be the guy for the playoffs. It wasn't him. It was Campbell.
Right.
All right. And now he's there at 25 years old. And I think he's learning so much. I was going to say it's like going at the university. No, it's not the university here. It's the real world, right? And I think he's going through it, probably like the majority of his teammates with the Oilers. And I have no doubt in my mind that we're going to see the Oilers again in a Stanley Cup final. I don't know if it's next year. I don't know if it's in 2 years. I don't know when. but that team is legit, okay? And it's a little bit like the Panthers last year. The Panthers weren't ready to win that Stanley Cup, but I feel like the Oilers are not, quote-unquote, ready. That's probably why they're losing, but they'll learn a ton. And I'm convinced with a guy like Connor McDavid and Stuart Skinner as a goalie, they're learning a lot. And I don't know when this final is going to end, but one thing for sure, this is probably the best thing that ever happens to all the Oilers players, to go through the grind and saying, we were there, we were right there, we knock on that door, and we were good enough probably to win that Stanley Cup, so we're right there. So I'm probably sure that at the end of that Stanley Cup final, they're going to beg for the season to start the next week. But they'll have to wait a little bit.
Yeah.
Reno, you're as involved as any insider out there when it comes to trades and free agency. So I ask you, from here on in the Stanley Cup final, is it maybe less about Bobrovsky versus Skinner, but more about a philosophy on a goaltender you need? We've got at least half a dozen teams out there that think that they can compete for a Stanley Cup, but are missing a goalie. Are these guys playing right now for a philosophy moving forward on whether you need a $10 million goalie or you need a $2.5 million goalie?
Why not a $6 million goalie?
So I didn't have...
Listen, I think, look at the New York Rangers, okay? And I really like Larry Brooks. Reading Larry Brooks in the New York Post for me is something that I appreciate every day. And he did an unbelievable, put an unbelievable story. It was his way of seeing the season, last season, and he was asking himself, or probably the rest of the Rangers fans, was it a failure, what just happened? When we look at that season, is it a successful season or it's a failure? You can put arguments on both sides, right? It's a failure because they were supposed to be in the Stanley Cup final, but there's a reason why they're not here. Because you have Jacob Trouba, the captain, who really likes to play a dirty game. He enjoy it. He's always on the fence. Like, it's part of his DNA. But look at the forwards of the New York Rangers. Who are you scared of? Except Rempe, right? But he's playing 4 or 5 minutes a game. Who's the guy that you see coming at you and you're like, you have to brace yourself? No. Yeah. Okay? So I think the philosophy right now of a hockey team should be, okay, skill sets are really important. And the Rangers, they have tons of skill set. But you need a couple of guys that you're going to hate playing against them. I believe Alexis Lafreniere is that type of guy. Why I'm saying it is because after every playoff round, I have players on other teams who was like, that guy going to kill. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. They're upset with him because he's capable of hitting you hard and making you pay. But they need – Alexis cannot score goals and be that guy by himself. He needs help. And they need to surround the skill set that they have with players that are skilled, but that they can play on that fence. And they love to play on that fence like Sam Bennett is doing it and Matthew Tkachuk. Can it be Brady Tkachuk? The Rangers fans are begging for it. The Rangers fans are begging for it. And rightly so.
Where are the Rangers? Are they going, okay, say what you will about anything that skates in front of me. We can't win with Shesterkin. They're going to have to pay him. How much are they willing to pay him? And if he was at the top of his game and still couldn't get them in a Stanley Cup final, is it a mistake to pay him $12 million on a new contract?
Listen, that's way too much money, I believe. I know the cap is going up, okay? It's a different story if you look at the Bobrovsky's contract compared to what's going to happen with the cap in a few years. When Bobrovsky signed that contract, that 7-year at $70 million, the cap was probably at $80 million. In 3 years, the cap's going to be at $100 million. So there's $20 million more, right? So is $12 million too much? I believe so, okay? But if you look at the big picture, in 5 years, maybe it's not that big. But I think that what's going to happen is this. I think that Igor's going to look at the big picture and say, you know what, I need to be there for my teammates too. And probably he's going to take a little less. And I hope for his sake and the sake of the Rangers, that's exactly what he's going to do. That way it's going to help the Rangers to do what they really need to do with their team. But you know what, you look at what the management said in New York. They're ready. They know that they need to change things, and that's what that you know the Panthers. What they did was obviously something that they need to learn from. And the beauty of it, Nick, the beauty of it is it's a little windy here. The beauty of it is it's the league is going back a little bit. When in your playing days, you know it wasn't. Fun to be on the ice every shift, especially when you were on the ice, Nick.
thank you.
Now, for sure. I saw a lot of you playing, and I couldn't believe what it was for you know the other team. But anyway, the game is game. I'm not saying that we're going to have four fights every night. It's not about fighting. It's about toughness.
Yes.
It's about the grind and work. We're going back there. You need to be really, really tough. And I had a conversation with some people in the media in Montreal earlier this year at training camp, and they were saying to me that, you know, the 80s guys were way tougher than the players. And I was like, what are you talking about? When Matthew Tkachuk is playing with a broken sternum, what are you talking about? These guys are for real. But probably that the percentage – there's way more skills today than in the 80s, right? So percentage is obviously higher, but there's still some really tough guy that you need to play again. And if I'm a kid today at 13, 14, 15 years old and I have skills, I need to look at Sam Bennett and say, you know what? I need to look at Matthew Tkachuk. I need to look at these two guys and say, I need to play like these guys.
Last one for me, Ren. Just the Cup final is going to end at some point before fall, I think, and then the draft is going to come. And there's a lot of big names rumored to be moved or at least in conversations. What are you expecting for activity at the draft this year?
I expect the Montreal Canadiens trade. We have a trade to announce in the first round.
Yep. Okay.
That's the. It's been like this since the last 2 years with Kent Hughes.
Yep.
Because he had the. A couple of first round picks every year. So probably he's going to draft with this first pick. I say probably. I'm not 100% certain right now. Why? Because there's a lot of balls up in the air. So we'll see how things are going to evolve between now and the 27 or the 28, wherever it is, whenever it is. But that's my expectations. I expect a lot of movement. I see a lot. The number of coach that were fired in the last year, it's mind-boggling. So it tells you that there's a lot of people that are not happy right now, and they're trying everything to make moves and to make their team better. And they look at the Stanley Cup final, and they see skills, they see toughness, and they're probably the majority of them are like, what? We can't play against these guys, so we have a lot of work to do here. So I expect, with the cap going up, movements, that's for sure.
Ren, thanks so much for your time, man. Really appreciate it. Enjoy the rest of the series, okay?
Always fun to talk to you guys. Enjoy the rest of the day.
Renaud
thanks,
Lavoie.
Ren. Appreciate it, man.
TVA Sports, one of the good ones out there.
Absolutely.
I got a ton of respect for this man.
Yeah, absolutely. Lot of names.
I just want to follow up a little bit more on the goaltending thing, because I do believe that, like, this is still about a philosophy on whether you need a high-end goalie who looks the part, is paid the part, then trying to piecemeal it on a 1 or a 1A or a split of $2-3 million goalies.
Yeah.
Where are you on it?
You know, we covered the Toronto Maple Leafs, been covering them for a lot of years.
One of six teams,
yeah,
legitimately, that think that they can contend for a Stanley Cup that are looking for a goalie.
Right, and they've been like, this, you know, they're dead serious about winning a cup. The phrase all in comes up, and it's 1 year, it's going to be the end of Freddie Anderson's contract, then it's going to be the end of Jack Campbell's contract, then it's Samsonov's cheap deal. Maybe it's Wool. Like, there, it's always seems very piecemeal to me. Matt Murray's going to be the guy, where I think a lot of people just like to know they have a goalie they can give them league average to better and have that consistency and a number one guy. So I feel like this year has been redeeming for number one guys, and I do think that I would pay Shesterkin. Not 12. 12?
12.
12?
But you got to move off of, like, there's new money coming in, which means new numbers.
Yeah.
People have to start wrapping their heads around it. Renault's right. If he wants to give them a team-friendly discount, he's at 11.5. So, but 12 is the ask for Shesterkin.
Okay, so his contract's going to more than double on his next contract because he makes 5-6 now.
Yeah.
And, like, can we get you at a lower number but a shorter term so you get to do this again in a few years?
No, you...
Only Matthews
you're,
does
like,
that.
You're an idiot. You're the agent's an idiot if he's just going to give up money because of why.
If you think the cap's going to go up 12, it's different bargaining position.
Shesterkin is Carey Price when Carey Price signed his $10.5 million contract. How long ago? 5 years ago?
Carey Price's
deal? Yeah, Carey Price. How long ago did Carey, when Carey signed his 10.5? He's the Carey Price of today.
He signed that in what, 2018? Summer of 2018?
Yeah.
Sound right?
So 5-6 years ago.
2018, 2019.
20, yeah, that's the first year, but he signed it in 2017. Yeah.
Do you know what Carey Price's percentage of the cap was?
No.
14%. Shesterkin asked for 14% on a cap today?
Yeah.
Or one that will look like $100 million, like Renault just said?
Yeah.
Yeah, that number is
okay.
12.
You know,
12 and a half.
I'm less like, in talking about this, chewing it around a little bit, less like you can't pay a guy that much, and I think you can pay Shesterkin that or around that.
But it's the same percentage. That's what they do now.
Yeah. They do percentage.
They do percentage as a cap.
Which is very
smart. If it was good enough for Carey Price, it's good enough for Shesterkin.
Sure. I think that's fair. Although, then you have to say, did we think the Carey Price contract was good? You know, like he may be, just because the contract signed may not be one that worked.
That's a different conversation, though.
Right.
Right?
I don't.
Everybody said it was fine when they went to a Stanley Cup bubble final. Was it the bubble?
Weird contract.
No, They traveled that year.
No fans.
I don't think there's a, because I think you're always looking for the solution, and like you can win with Aiden Hill, but now goalies Matt. I think it's who gets hot and who gets a few bounces over two months in the spring, and that's who wins the cup.
Sam, the Aiden Hill thing made people go too far in the direction.
For sure.
It doesn't even matter.
For sure.
It's a running back.
It matters, but I don't think there are the trends with goaltending and with who wins as much as people want them to. I think it's more year by year, case by case type of teams that win. As opposed to being like,
look at the bunch of trends. It's Skinner and Bobrovsky.
Bobrovsky closes it out Saturday night, and everybody's going, come on, get a goalie. Get a real goalie.
But I've wanted that forever. Like, I've always thought that. I've been talking about Saros at the deadline for two straight years. It's like, get a real goalie.
Yeah.
Renault also said that, you know, he thinks that they're somewhere in the middle between a Shesterkin at $12 million and your cheap end goalie.
Mm-hmm.
You know who's in the middle? Markstrom.
Markstrom.
Samson.
Markstrom.
He's at the bottom.
Yeah. Markstrom has this year. Just
I got to think there'd be a huge bidding war for Markstrom.
His good year is going to help Calgary out quite
just
a bit.
Just 2 years left at a little over $6 million.
Mm-hmm. Six even.
Okay. Six even.
And he's what, 34? I'm in.
That's completely in six teams' wheelhouse, including the Toronto Maple Leafs.
And they know that he wants out, right? Everybody dealing with the Flames know that he is not happy with the situation.
There's some big names talking about being traded. We're talking about Markstrom. We've talked about Mitch Marner on this show.
Mm-hmm. Line A's been thrown out there.
Line A.
Yeah.
Anyone else that were?
Yeah.
No.
I mean, there's...
Those are three huge names. But anyways.
But with 2 years left, you're not forced to offer him a new contract.
Yeah.
With Marner, you are.
Mm-hmm.
So that plays a whole new layer into who gets does he get traded, to where, for how much. I mean, that's not the deal with Markstrom. It's like, you know, you're getting 2 years for the Leafs. Would it buy time to make a decision on Joseph Woll? Mm-hmm. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So that's an easier decision.
Marner want to live in Alberta? They'll have water by winter.
All right, you want to do game time, or are we going to do it when we come back?
We'll hit a break, and then we'll come back. Maybe talk a little more Marner and do
we'll
game
We'll do
time.
Marner. We'll do Patrick Laine, mm-hmm. who obviously wants out of Columbus and what that means. Plenty more. More Ranger talk.
Yeah.
We talked about a lot of right-handed D that might be available. We'll throw out one more name.
Mm.
Give you a hint. Renee mentioned him earlier in the show. It's I won't give it away until we come back. All right. More Real Kipper and Bourne. Fastest hour in hockey after we return.
Teeing up the biggest games of the night, it's the Fan Pregame with Ailish Forfar and Justin Cuthbert.
Weekdays at 6 p.m. on Sportsnet, Sportsnet 590 The Fan, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Nick Kiprios, Justin Bourne, Sammy McKee. Usually we get Paul Maurice, Kipper's Clippers, and we're going to get into some of them. But mm-hmm. first,
game time.
Game time, baby.
Thank you, sir. It's game time, presented by Bet365. Visit the app for latest odds and find out why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Must be 19 plus, Ontario only. Please play responsibly. Now I'm going for the very rare off the ice gambling pick today.
Yeah.
I'm going to the Diamond, heading down to the Rogers Center. Okay. The Toronto Blue Jays tonight have a chance to get it back to 500.
For the third time.
They are 35 and 36 at the moment. They have a chance to get back to, like I said, 36 and 36. What a moment that would be. They've called up all the Buffalo boys. They're a different looking squad now. Pluckier, more
Bobby
fun.
McMahon's in. Pontus Holberg's in.
Easier
Nick Robertson's in.
Easier to root for, except that George Springer still gets regular at-bats. But I, tonight, I'm taking the Toronto Blue Jays as a -130 favorite with Yusei Kikuchi on the hill to get back to 500. Give me the Toronto Blue Jays tonight to beat the Boston Red Sox.
500, Kip, what do you think?
Yeah, no.
Yeah. Let's see.
I hope they do, but...
You would think
it's a hard number. They got this... psyche going.
They're a very tough watch.
Where are they payroll in the MLB?
High. Like a top 10 payroll, I think. I think they're maybe even like in the top 7.
220 or something, 240.
I think maybe even 250. Like they're high.
Could get you to 5.
I'm not a baseball expert. It's not summer yet, so I haven't really read up on my baseball stuff, so I'm not exactly an expert at this point. The one quick thing I wanted to do before we go away from game time, you mentioned the Conn Smythe with Ren. When we did it on Friday, we looked at it, and was it that Barkov was +300 and Bobrovsky was -300, I think, at that point?
Mm-hmm.
And Connor McDavid was 12-1. It's gone now to Bobrovsky -110, Barkov is +125, and Connor McDavid has snuck down to +750.
So they think
there's a chance for him to have a couple more moments here.
It's
coming down the stretch.
To lose.
It is. Mm-hmm. But I don't think we're talking enough about Connor McDavid having more assists than anyone in the history of the NHL in a single playoff season. Wayne Gretzky was on some pretty good offensive teams.
We, in fact, didn't mention it till this very moment, Vorney.
32 assists in this year's playoffs.
Is that more
than Matthews had all regular season?
Oh, definitely.
Not a joke. It's got to be close, right?
I probably had like 37 or 38. Okay. I don't know.
Anyway, wild.
Austin Matthews had 38 assists.
38 assists.
There's no one who knows more about Matthews' assists. He counts.
Yeah, it's a pet peeve of mine. Number one center should have more than 35 assists.
Boys, he could catch him.
Anyways,
so
let me get out of game time. Let me finish up the read, and then we'll go on from there. That was game time, presented by Bet365. Visit the app for latest odds and find out why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Must be 19 plus. Ontario only. Please play it responsibly.
When I think about the last 20 years, especially coming out of that stupid lockout.
Yeah.
Right? The big one.
Yeah.
Where you lost a year. And everything's been skewed towards opening up the offense. They've changed countless rules.
Yeah, you can't water ski behind guys.
Anymore. Can't get a face off in the offensive zone. Can't change on icings. Put the puck over the glass. Mm-hmm. Stupid penalty rules. When I think about all of that built up over the last 20 years, I'm surprised we don't have more of Gretzky's records broken.
Yeah.
Especially,
that's interesting.
Especially when you consider how talented McDavid is. So I get the
but
fact
that records? Like his, some of his numbers are so absurd that they're just untouchable.
I think if the scoring was just a bit higher in that era, even though there was more rules and more ways to defend
illegally.
It was still
harder for, I think, a guy like Gretzky than it is for McDavid to pull offense.
Well, I mean.
I do.
That's interesting.
Gretzky's single season stuff will never even be sniffed ever. Like, what is this, 200, he had 212 in one season?
Well, McDavid hit 150, right?
Is I think his record is 215 212. Or 212. 212?
Yeah.
Like, that's never going to get touched. Ovi clearly is coming in on his goal record, but his assist stuff, his numbers are just so absurd, Kipper, that they're just untouchable. He's just so much different.
The problem is now you can't build more offense. Like, if McDavid had one more $10 million player or equivalent to that of Gretzky
in the
era.
That's a great point.
McDavid could drive his offense up to the 170, 180, 190 point. He cannot add anymore. He's getting fourth liners. Some of them don't belong in the league, but get granted a position because they're the cheapest guy out there.
Yeah.
Gretzky's era never had that issue.
Yeah.
You could go out and add another great player. You can go get Luke Robitaille and Brett Hall for the Detroit Red Wings to close out a Stanley Cup. No issues there.
Yeah.
How much you make? Doesn't matter. Come on board.
Yeah, we need
God,
you.
I miss those days.
Yeah.
It could be a lot of fun for the Leafs if that was the case. Like I've always said, banish the Cat Boys. We never have to worry.
It would be nice to have not had it while you had a good core.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
All right. Lots of talk out of New York with the Rangers. And Larry Brooks is all over this too. And The Athletic as well about, the thought that the Rangers kind of look like the Leafs a little bit. Good talent, but just need more. Some guys with heavy contracts. Now it just seems like a lot of talk about Jacob Trouba either being bought out or traded.
Bought out.
To alleviate $8 million on his contract.
No, I guess that's what I'm saying.
This is internet stuff.
I know. I'm hearing it too.
Yeah.
He makes $8 million and he makes that until 26. So that's, not that long. Two more seasons. This season and next.
Where are you on Trouba?
I love the way he can change the temperature of a game, right? The hits are a big deal. He's not a huge offensive force. Only had 22 points last year. -4 in the Rangers this year is not great.
I think he's probably not worth that money anymore. But I think if they were willing to eat a couple, maybe $2 million.
I think it's six and a half.
Sure.
I jump all over him.
The league would be falling all over itself to get Trouba for six and a half, which makes him an interesting trade candidate.
Eight is high. Like considering the bit of a decline that he's had, he plays hard. Like, I think that would be a bit of a tough sell, but at $6.5 million, talk me into that one.
Is that the start of your Marner trade?
No.
Big right shot D?
No.
Experience?
No.
So
young.
Extra six
young.
To spend?
Young.
So there's a lot of different insiders out there talking about either Marner getting pushed hard in the next 3 weeks to move out because he ain't getting a contract either now or at the end of the season. Buddy Draeger mentioned that the thought is maybe even Tree Living offers him a contract extension.
Sounds like they're either going to sign him or push him out or do neither or keep him or...
Sounds like no one has any damn clue.
That's what it sounds like.
If I'm going to have a guess here that no one... That this is a very hot button issue and everybody wants to have the right take on it and no one knows.
Forget about inside information. Just where do you really think the Leafs are on Marner?
I think the Leafs are, let's hear what other teams think. Let's just, before we can even know what to even consider, is there interest and what does the interest tangibly look like? About what's the framework of a real deal? And that may not be out there.
Yeah.
Knowing that you have to extend them at whatever the number may be, I'm guessing 12, 11 and a half, something like that.
I'm with Borny. I think they probably, and maybe we mentioned this on the show before, we've talked about this a million times, but that they're going to go out there, maybe without the blessing of Mitch, find some potential ones and come back to him and be like, hey, any of these kind of, because you can't just approach them before you have anything to give to them, right? Like, I don't know.
If there's no trade package out there, you wouldn't want to convince, tell them you want them to leave.
And then not have
then
anything.
Then not find something.
That's what, you would know better than both of us, Kipper. What do you think?
I can't disagree with either one of you in terms of where it kind of sits right now. And I think behind the scenes, there's a ton going on in terms of conversations. And usually with teams that are out of the playoffs at this point, they kind of prep themselves to go to the draft.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when things can really happen. And the draft isn't the start of a conversation. It's, for many teams, it's the hope that it ends conversations.
Where you would consummate the deal, like
deals.
People like to say. Yeah.
So I think it's happening behind the scenes quietly. Mm-hmm. And where that pushes the a potential finish line, either the draft, mid-July, training camp, Christmas, trade deadline next March, is anyone's guess.
I want you to rank these three things in terms of likelihood of happening. He gets traded, he stays and walks at the end of his deal, or he signs an extension.
I do believe that the Leafs will take an attempt to trade him.
Yeah.
And I think it's depending on how aggressive they want to get. Where do you think the Leafs are in terms of wanting to trade him or potentially offering him an extension, like 50-50, 60-40?
I was stunned to hear the, like, that's the first, like, person I've heard, like, Dreger saying that was, like,
not,
extension
do,
caught
do
me
do
off
not
guard.
Think,
do like not a think punch
at,
in the face.
Do you not think at this point with the Leaf fans out there and the failed attempts to get out of the first round, like, five or six times and once out of the second round once, that they go, we're just not doing this again.
Yeah, but it could set your franchise back a decade losing a guy like Mitch Marner for nothing. Like, if you, I would rather they extended him than just let him walk at the end, personally. Like, he's just such a valuable player in the league that you can't just go.
But you're
when you
also,
put it like that.
But you're also, but you're running out of time because there's a, the, to your point that you, there's value to come back.
Yeah.
But next July 1st, there's zero.
No value.
So where is your cut line on a first-rounder, a prospect, two first-rounders, a player that can play now, a player that can, where do you go yes and no on?
Yeah, no, they're over a barrel, bud. You know, like the time was last summer, not this.
And it feels, it's a hard conversation to be like, there seem like two very different outcomes here where you're like, we'll extend you, we'll trade you. You can't have both of these conversations at the same time.
You can't break up with or get married to your girlfriend.
Yeah, I mean, it's like buying a dog or something to try and fix it here. Like, I don't know what the hell you're going to do, but I don't know. You can't have those two conversations simultaneously, so it feels like it has to be one or the other. And extension,
that's a great point.
Extension to me seems so far-fetched. I don't know
but
anything.
I think you can have that conversation and still the trade one after.
See, the other what, aspect
the
is...
extension first?
The outcome of the extension.
The other aspect is that you start and you see what kind of start you have. You see the chemistry. You see a style of play. He's got a new coach. Does he get off to a good start? Does he not get off to a good start?
Kip, you can't do this.
I'm just saying that...
You
that,
can't do that.
I think if you're Brad Treliving, that's... also an option is when you are nervous, scared, use whatever word you want to use, but the tendency is to do nothing if you're not 100% all in.
Yeah, you need to do something because you're right. If you just freeze and go, maybe this will work itself out, all of a sudden it's December and the guy goes, well, no, I'm not doing anything.
But you're judging in October and November before it's December.
Oh,
and is he on a pace for 100 points again, 120 points?
But you know he can do that.
That's the thing. It's
you know he can do that.
There is nothing at the start of next year that's going to stun me about Marner.
No.
Like, he's going to probably be really good like he always is.
Points. You'd be like, I knew he could do that.
He's really good. And that's the part of this that's so scary.
All right. Okay, stop it.
Right. Okay.
We've solved nothing.
Key Boucher?
Guy Boucher,
was real that shocker there?
That wasn't like
Why was he still around while everyone else was let go? Why were they like, maybe the guy who did the power play that struggled?
Maybe the most.
I don't know.
The most this assistant coach trended nationally every single time on a power play.
Now, I don't know how much people know if this is just common knowledge, but he was about this close to being the head coach of the Toronto Maple Leafs before
with Babs.
Babcock.
Yeah, yeah.
And the story that I had heard was that he was actually in, was it the Air Canada Center at the time?
Listen, I think maybe I told you, I can vouch for that. Yeah. I saw him in there. I was working for them cutting video.
There you go.
He came in and he was talking about cutting a hole in the wall so he could talk to the community with the players better. He was talking Renos when he was in there.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And then like a day later,
No.
Oh, my God.
So I guess, again, the story is that the Leafs were talking to, they were giving him the hold on while they were on the phone with Babcock or cutting a deal with Babcock. And then they have to go back to Guy Boucher and say,
sorry, bud.
Yeah, sorry, bud.
Yeah.
Ouchie.
So now envision Guy Boucher going through that and then years later coming back and saying, okay, I'll be an associate coach for you. But you can't tell me that Guy Boucher wouldn't have had a conversation with Brendan Shanahan or whoever else in MLSC and saying, hey, listen, my fault if things don't work out with Sheldon, please tell me that I would get heavy consideration for the job.
The only reason I'm not in full agreement is that he hasn't coached the last few years, right?
Yeah, no, he wasn't.
No, but he had some good runs.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. He just, for whatever reason, so his last year was as a head coach was 2019. Yeah, with Ottawa. So that's a pretty big gap to then hand it over to the guy and say... Especially but, yeah, so you think he's pretty frustrated at how it shook out here?
I mean, again, when you consider the way things failed, not coming out of the first round, plus the power play, which he had a big hand on, I just saw absolutely zero chance for him to be a head coach for the Toronto Maple Leafs.
Yeah, and obviously they felt the same way. So the staff is now for Toronto.
Lane Lambert.
And Mike Van
Rijn. Listen. I want to talk a little bit of Patrick Laine here.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. It's clear he wants out. Columbus wants to lower the payroll.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's the start of a death
spiral.
No,
this is, I don't know if he's still in substance abuse program or he's just coming out now.
Yeah.
So I don't know whether that's playing a factor. I do know there is interest for him.
The program he was in doesn't necessarily mean substance abuse. Well, it could be mental health. It could
be. Yes, correct.
Anyway.
Correct. So, maybe I didn't use the wrong term, and
I
apologize for that, but he's in a PA program, and I don't know if teams want to make sure that he comes out of it, if he hasn't already come out of it, and check on that. There is interest. Hmm. I don't think that a team would take him on his full salary. Columbus would have to eat some of it, I would believe.
I mean, do we need to be worried about Columbus? Like, once you're in you have to spend to the cap in this league to compete. I understand that they don't have the players and you're not going to spend the money for nothing. Yeah. But the second you're saying, we just finished, they finished 30th in the league and we're going to cut payroll.
He makes 8.7 this year.
8.7.
I thought it was lower than that.
Let me ask you something.
4.5 would you take him?
Would Winnipeg take him back?
Oh my God. No, what? Why are you saying them?
Didn't he have a famously brutal breakup with all those guys?
Yeah, but one of those guys is long gone.
Yeah, Wheeler. Yeah.
Affleck and J-Lo back together.
If you can get him for six and a half, he's shown great success there in the past. He was happy.
Can we get him to just
Maybe him and Marner will light it up on the same line in Utah.
Go Hockey Club.
You like those jerseys, Ken?
Think about it.
You like those jerseys?
No.
Okay.
Thank you.
I loved him.
He's the only guy who does.
20 minutes on Friday.
Renaud Lavoie, thank you very much for joining us. Like I said, fastest hour in hockey. We're back tomorrow. If you get a chance, give us a rating and review. We'd love to hear from you. June 17th. We still want to hear from you.
See you tomorrow.
Don't go golfing or the beach just yet.